just reads simply like this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God bless us as we consider the theme of the Youth Week of Prayer, which starts today and is this coming week. If you want to find where you can get the readings from online, then see me later. But that's what we will be looking at today. The purpose of Scripture. Martin left home. He was making his way to university. And as he left home, I imagine that he was carrying everything that he needed. He had a fair distance to travel. And as part of his journey, because he was walking to university, I wonder how many of our students would walk to university this coming September, October. He was walking to university. And he stopped by at a town on his route, and this was a summertime. And it was pretty good weather. And as he made his way out of this town, there was a weather front that came through and a summer storm happened. I keep saying to my wife, I'm really, really fed up with all this wind. Maybe it is just me. It's not a gastroenteritis thing. I'm talking about the weather. I just can't remember. And over the last sort of 12 months or 18 months, that the weather has been so windy as it has been. Maybe it's just me and my imagination. But anyway, sidetracked myself. There was a lot of wind and rain. There was this summer storm that happened. And as Martin was walking along, and maybe he wasn't well trained and a good pathfinder, and probably out in the open if this is true of what happened, but apparently he was walking along and with this storm there was an almighty crash at the sound of thunder, and boom, this lightning bolt landed and hit the ground right beside him. He was frightened out of his socks. He was so frightened that apparently he decided there and then, at that moment, that he was going to change his life. That he kind of concluded that whatever just happened, he was this far away from death. So he decided that he would pray. He said, God, I am ready to give my life to you. Martin then decided to go off and become a monk. And that was the first time he really became familiar with the Bible. Maybe some of you know his surname. Anyone know who this Martin is? Martin Luther. It was around about July 1505, a long time ago. But this year is the 500th anniversary of something that Martin Luther is connected to, and I will get to that in a moment. In fact, our whole Youth Week of Prayer readings follow this Reformation theme, commemorating this year. But coming back to Martin Luther, him going, making this decision, this on this road lightning bolt experience, him making this decision, this led to the first time really that he got the chance to learn and read from Scripture. Now, he must have had some kind of faith relationship experience in order for him to decide to pray and decide to go off and change his course of studies. But this was the first time that he was able, in this new course of studies to open up Bibles and read for himself. And this was another wow moment for Martin Luther. The Bible became the foundation of his faith, his life, and his preaching. Martin went on to teach philosophy. Once he'd finished some of his studies, he then became a teacher. But while he was a teacher, he then also continued studies in theology. And in 1512, I'm told that he managed to achieve a doctorate in theology. So what? It's just a bit of education. But Martin realized that there is more to it than just church, just knowing about the existence of God. Martin caught the bug, the Bible bug, the Bible reading bug. He couldn't get enough of reading a Bible. As if teaching philosophy and studying theology wasn't enough, he also became the pastor of the church, the city church in Wittenberg. I think to myself, my goodness, he's glutton for punishment. But this was the desire of his life, and I'm sure that one thing had then impacted and reflected in another. Such was his newfound interest in reading the Bible that he couldn't wait to preach about what he was reading and learning. So what? What's the big deal? Read a Bible, Martin. You should have done it years ago. But he couldn't, because the established church up until that time had limited access to the Bible. All women, doesn't matter who you are, all women, no access. And unless you were becoming a priest, you had no access as a man. That was the limitation. But seemingly people seemed to be okay with the priest would read the Holy Scriptures, and then the priest would tell you what was in the Holy Scriptures. And the priest would interpret, and the priest would give you the application. And thereby lies some of the other problem that Martin Luther developed. You see, the established church that he was part of then also had some kind of different views, at least different from what he could read in Scripture. Martin experienced things like in the church there would be some artifacts, some relics. I have some years ago I had the opportunity of taking a youth group. We drove from Ireland, two ferries in a minibus, all crammed. We went from Ireland through Wales and England and across into Holland. Driving across, we stopped off in Berlin. We were on our way to Poland to a camporee. We stopped off in Berlin for a couple of days and to enjoy a Sabbath there. Just before or afterwards, we had an extra day or so as well. We were able to walk around Berlin. And what might you expect to find in Berlin? Yes, this was after the Berlin Wall had come down. There are small stretches of it still in existence and kind of museum pieces. But I was amazed as I went round Berlin. Almost every gift shop that you could go in, guess what they were selling? Quite often there would be special little boxes. Or just on a piece of card in a little plastic envelope, you could buy your own genuine piece of the Berlin Wall. I was very interested in some of these pieces because some were quite sizable pieces. And I thought, well, I knew that people in the past had spray painted them and done their graffiti and so on, at least on one side. So as I had a look at some of these pieces of concrete, sure enough, they had a bit of graffiti on them, but not just on one surface. Whoever was making these genuine pieces of Berlin Wall seemed to be a little bit careless in the way that they were spraying and painting. And so the paint was on more than one side. So if this was a chip off the old block of the wall, it would only be on the face surface. What a lot of rubbish. Genuine indeed. But Martin, in Germany, in his church, experienced something similar. You could buy your way to heaven. You could purchase things even for a very big sum of money. Not only would you get some ancient relic, but you might then be able to be sure of your own salvation. But Martin, as he read through his Bible, realized, what a load of rubbish. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says salvation is free. It's a gift from God. It blew his mind. He couldn't believe it. This is what the established church was saying, but this is actually what the Bible says. He continued his studies, continued his preaching. In fact, at one point, he decided that he wasn't going to speak in Latin. I mean, he was in Germany. It would be like just the same here. If I stood up and started speaking in Latin, how many of you would understand? No. And if you think that it sounds like I'm speaking Latin, don't tell me. Please be kind. Martin realized that what was in the Bible, everyone should have access to. Everyone should know that the gift of God, the gracious gift of God, is free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. It's free. How we respond to God may have other implications. But the gift is free. And he only realized that because he opened and read the Bible. He was so annoyed, so enraged with some of the practices of the established church that he put together what maybe some of you have heard of this, the 95 Theses. These were the points that he had of argument of the established church at the time. And what he did, he was so annoyed with the way things were, he got his 95 Theses. And let's see what else I have here. I'm not going to use a nail, don't worry, building committee. And I know I could have edited this a little bit better, but that's a copy, a translation of the 95 Theses. You can come to the door later if you want, but he got the 95 Theses. These are the things that he had an objection to of the way that the established church was run, according to what he could read in Scripture. And what did he do? He went to his church, got to the door, and he nailed it. See how long this lasts. He nailed it. Well, we use that expression there, don't we? He nailed it. He nailed his objections. From what he could read in Scripture, he didn't like the way that the church was presenting itself and making itself more authoritative than God and than Scripture. course, you can imagine it didn't go down very well. And after a little while, he was summoned by some of the bishops and asked to explain himself. They asked him to recant. There's a nice common word that we use nowadays, isn't it? There's an old English. Recant, to rescind, to take back what he had said. And when he was presented with this opportunity, he said, can I have a little bit of time to think about it? He didn't need time to think about whether he would recant. He needed time to think about his answer. And when he came back in front of these religious officials, when they said, well, Martin, are you going to recant? Are you going to take back what you said in these 95? These are the words that Martin apparently said. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen. I cannot and I will not. Martin learned that to be able to open a Bible and to read for himself was a wonderful experience. It was only then that he really realized the full extent of God's love for him. And he didn't want to keep it to himself. Because of this demand that he recant, he was invited by one of the kind of royalty principalities to come away for a while. They wanted to kind of get him out of the limelight a little bit. But in coming out of the limelight, he also had an opportunity, an access to the scriptures. He opened up these Bibles and he translated them into common German. In 1522, he finished and the New Testament of his work was printed and distributed. He finished in September, so guess what it was called? September Testament. And just a few years later, well, it was 1534, with a little bit of help from other people, he completed the whole of the Bible, translated into common German. He wasn't the only one by this stage. There were other people in England, the UK, and other parts that also started to realize we need this to be accessible to people. Accessible to a point where, well, even before we leave this room, what could we do? Well, I know we would frown on this, of the idea of buying and selling on Sabbath, but if we wanted to, we could get our devices out, we could go on to Amazon or some other platform, and we could buy a Bible, couldn't we? Just like that. Someone's going to tell me as I walk out the door, as they come and see me and shake me by the hand, the cheapest Bible that they could find online. Or will they? But it's not very much. It doesn't happen so much nowadays, but even in public places, you know, hotels and so on, there used to be people that would deliberately leave Bibles for people to be able to read. It's a few pounds each that you can get hold of various translations now. It is so accessible compared to 500 years ago, where common people were reliant on the priest to be able to open up and read and tell them what was in the Bible. Now suddenly everyone had the opportunity, if you could afford a printed copy. And nowadays, everyone has the opportunity, not just in print, but on a screen, or audio. But I wonder how much time we give to opening our Bibles and to reading what is so easily accessible to us now. It is the Youth Week of Prayer. I went for a little search because I knew that there was some statistics somewhere. Without going into the nitty-gritty details, there was some research of teenagers that had stayed attending church and those who had left. And there is a clear correlation. I'm not going to say that the statistics read well anyway, even for those that stayed. But those that stayed, if they read their Bible, they're more likely to stay. Of those that left, it was a far fewer percentage of teenagers that actually read their Bible. And the conclusion is, it's more likely that if we read our Bible, we will have a faith relationship with God. We will find something to connect us to stay in faith with God. But that isn't limited to teenagers. We have the opportunity every day to open our Bibles, to spend a little bit of time with God. I won't ask how many minutes. That's between you and God. But I do want to encourage you. We have the freedom of being able to grab a Bible. All we need to do is have the determination to decide this is what I want to do. Because as Paul wrote to Timothy, Scripture has a purpose. What good is that purpose if it sits on our shelves and we rely on only a big screen to see an occasional verse or two on Sabbath? Isaiah chapter 40. I thought our Bible family Bible was going to hit the same verse that I was going to share as well. But Isaiah chapter 40 is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 1. But Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. As I have it, reads like this. This is a conversation. A voice said, "Shout!" I asked, "Why should I shout?" "Shout that people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord." And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. It's a good book. I commend it to you. And I encourage you to double your reading this week. Heaven, it's maybe a simple message, a reminder. The story of how the revelation of Scripture impacted one person's life motivated Martin Luther to make a more accessible to common people. We know he wasn't the only one. But Lord, in them making it accessible, he and many others lost their lives and were persecuted because of it. But now, so easy to get hold of a copy of the Bible. Maybe some of us have multiple copies at home. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures to be so easily available to us. Now, Lord, especially during this youth week of prayer, may we avail ourselves of some time to spend more time with our Bibles, more time with you, that we too may find the joy, the freedom of your grace. In your name we pray.